The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
9:25 this Tuesday morning, 10th of December. Great to have you with us. It is a horrible report that might have passed you by over the weekend, but I want to mention it about, because it was in the news with Safe Ireland, one of the organisations I have the greatest time for the work they do in the area of domestic violence. And this report talked about, that I'm reading from the Irish Times of the weekend, domestic homicides have outpaced gangland murders by almost 2-1. In the last 3 years, but still generates far less coverage and discussion. This is from Drew Harris, the Garda Commissioner. He was making a speech and said that Gardaí are now responding to 30,000 domestic abuse calls every year, which works out at 500 to 600 per week. It was quite shocking. He said this is mainstream work for the Garda. There is a constant drumbeat of this type of call. And there were 40 domestic homicides between 2016 and 18. And during the same period, which included the most violent time of the Hutch-Kinahan feud, there were 26 organised crime homicides thereabouts, 26 to 40. It's not a competition, not a race to the bottom, just a matter of fact. It's quite grim news, which is why we've asked Padraig O'Rochtagan to come and join us this morning. Padraig, good morning to you.
Morning, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
I was talking about you yesterday morning on the radio because you had made the news having been named Dentist of the Year following some big news over the weekend. Can you tell us why you won this award?
I was nominated by a patient of mine who had some very difficult times in her life outside of her dental problems, and I was lucky to be the conduit by which she was able to help her family and to deal with a very, very difficult situation in relation to domestic violence.
So she had contacted you on a Saturday morning out of hours.
That's right.
Is that right? And you opened your dental practice to look after her.
Yeah.
She'd been, I presume, attacked by a man of some sort. The
details are need to keep to myself.
But she had a dental issue relating to domestic violence. Okay.
And as the consultation progressed, it became clear that she had no confidant. She had never spoken to anybody about many years of domestic violence. She had young children. And you're probably familiar with going to the dentist, and busy people we are, we give you the shot and we tell you to go sit in the waiting room for 5 minutes, and 20 minutes later we get back to you. In these circumstances, because I'd opened the practice, there was nobody else there. So I sat with her, and whatever way, the look in her eye or the look in my eye or whatever, she chose to tell me what happened and how it happened. And we had many visits to deal with her dental problems. And over that time, the story became more expanded upon at each visit. And it seems that our chats were the catalyst which caused her to take the action that she needed to do to take to keep her family safe.
She was guided in the right direction then.
Yeah.
Great. And then as a result of that, then she came out the other side, hopefully, of that. And I'm keen to get away from her story so as not to identify. But,
sure.
But suffice to say that she was given an award of €1,500, I understand, by Colgate, who run the Irish Dentist of the Year, appropriately enough, I suppose. And she donated that straight to Women's Aid.
Yes.
Which was in itself a lovely kind of circle of kindness between you, her, and Women's Aid.
Absolutely, yes.
Everyone's kind of winning there from an ugly situation
yes.
from the get-go. And the reason I wanted to talk to you in many respects this morning, Padraig, was because your background brings us back across the Irish Sea, like so many other people in the, was it the 80s you would have
That's
left
right.
Ireland?
Yep.
You're on, you know that scene in Reeling in the Ears where you, won't you remember, that they're all getting on the bus to London. It's the saddest bloody picture. But nevertheless, you were one of those and you started a life in the UK. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. You just reminded me about the other picture, which is the shot from the back of the ferry leaving Dunleary
yes.
with the white water.
Yeah.
And that was me, actually.
Was that you?
I was on that ferry. And I worked first in Kent as an associate or an assistant dentist in a practice. An extremely important part of my career, because you leave college knowing everything, and after a week's work you realise you know nothing, and you're mentored by the dentists who have more experience. Mm-hmm. And I always look back with gratitude on my time as an associate. I then bought my own practice in the East End of London, and it was there that I was first exposed to the whole business of domestic abuse. Language wasn't as politically correct in those days, and these ladies were referred to as battered wives.
Yeah, I remember the language, yeah.
And close to my practice, there was a refuge for battered wives, mm-hmm. where women from all over the country who were at immediate serious risk were brought. And the location was never known to me. It was kept secret. And I suppose around 1998, these patients, these women were brought into me if they had dental injuries, because I was the nearest dentist to the the centre.
Sure.
And I think around 1998, a lady was brought into me who was in her 70s. And she, let's say she was from an aristocratic background. And she had been beaten black and blue all over with one of those walking canes that posh people carry with the ball on the top as distinct from the handle of the cane.
Victorian cane.
Yes. Yeah. And she had broken her denture. Well, she hadn't. Her denture had been broken. So we fixed the denture for her. And I was told a few days later that she'd passed away. And she told me, while she was in as much as she could, while she was in with me, that all her married life had been like that.
Beaten up.
Yeah. And I have never forgotten. I have never forgotten that woman. And now, ever since, really, I'm inclined to inquire gently about an injury. My patients will know that. They'll recognise the fact that I asked them and it was a gardening accident or whatever. Mm. But I think it's important that we should show concern about any injury that we see, and give people an opportunity to tell you about it if that's what they want to do.
Can you tell me the nature of the injuries that you talk about in the UK, that women from the, what were called, as you say, battered wives, refuges, would come in? What sort of things, if we take it out of the abstract and into your personal experience, what was happening to them? What sort of damage was being done to these people?
Ryan, it was varied to the extent that any victim of a car crash that you see in a hospital or on TV in the 24-hour A&E series, they come in like that. Black eyes, broken noses, dried blood on the wounds that have been inflicted on them because they haven't been to the hospital yet. And it was the sort of stuff that we dentists deal with on an occasional basis in terms of accidents. But in these circumstances, there was an extra dimension to it because you knew somebody had done that deliberately.
Is there a Hippocratic oath? Is there the seal of the confessional in that if you have somebody, this is a hypothetical, on the chair, let's say the husband's sitting outside in the car, you know right well because she says, don't tell anyone, but have you anywhere to go with that?
I'm really glad you asked that question, because the situation now is very interesting.
Is it?
In that if, for example, a small lady in physical stature mm-hmm. presents to me with an injury, and she's over 16 years old, as I think that's right, and I suspect strongly that she has been the victim of an assault, I have no legal
recourse
nor have I any legal responsibility to take any action in that regard. However, if it's a 14-year-old, I have. I have a duty to report a suspected injury to a child.
What if a woman over 16, like so an adult, mm-hmm. says to you, my partner, husband, father smashed my jaw, which is why I'm here with you today. Do you just have to fix her and say goodbye?
But that's not what I would do.
I know you wouldn't do that.
My clinical responsibility extends to treating her injuries.
Precisely, but the responsibility of the soul says what?
Says that you've got to talk to the person and see where it's going to go.
Yeah. It's a trick. I've never crossed my mind until you won this award at the weekend. No, honestly, because it brings up that conversation. And these people... and anytime we talk about domestic violence, there will be a section of people, men, who will say, don't forget, we are beaten up too by women in relationships, and this can happen too. So I'm cognizant of that. But I suppose it's just they come in before you and they sit in the chair, and we see them on the bus, or we might see them buying mince pies and trying to get on with their lives. How much should we do? If we hear the thumps and the screams through the thin walls next door, I'm only asking as one guy to another sitting here.
I don't know,
do we make the call? Are we causing more trouble for the person? It's hard to know.
It is. Now, it's very interesting you brought that point up.
Because
yesterday afternoon, a long-standing patient of mine, a really lovely lady, who knew the story, sat in the chair and she said, "You were so brave." I'm like, I don't get that bit. Yeah. I said I did what I felt was right. I listened and I gave advice, and I'm old enough and long enough in the tooth to be able to give advice that sometimes people listen to. No, she says, you don't get it. I said, what don't I get? She said, you're a man. And I go, yeah. But she said most men would run for cover in that sort of situation.
Interesting.
That was probably, the most seminal thing that anybody said to me yesterday about, which I'd never thought about, because clearly this has been going through my mind for a year now,
Why do men run for cover?
I never asked her.
No, but I'm curious. The reason I asked the question is because I mentioned Safe Ireland there before and the work they do. And I don't mean to bring it to me, but just for the purpose of this conversation, I have to, where they say, would you front up a campaign called Man Up? Which was to get men to talk about domestic violence, not necessarily on the radio, but just for a campaign they were doing a few years ago. It stayed with me because, and I was kind of aware that here we are, two men talking about domestic violence. So I'm acutely aware of that too. But their point was, that's why I don't mind so much, is that if men talk about it, whether they're having a pint or a coffee, it makes it less taboo, and it makes it more. So to go back to that lady you talked about yesterday, it means that we won't run away. Mm-hmm. We will man up, to use that, which now feels like an archaic expression, but let's face it, that's what it was. We will stand up and say, not good enough. And that's the point she's made. And it resonated with you. Why did that resonate with you so much, I wonder?
It was just a point of view that I'd never even thought about or considered. But she also told me that the lady was just incredible, because it's so embarrassing to talk about it. And I said to her, why would it be? Because I can't get my head around this.
Yeah.
I said, why would it be embarrassing? And she said, because, she said, she would see it as a failure on her part that caused the problem in the first place.
Yeah.
And I was totally blown away with that, because nobody like me or you or anybody walking down the street would see it as a failure that someone would get beaten up on a regular basis just for being there.
Oh, listen, if I've learned one lesson in 2019, it is the absolute perversion of the word shame by perpetrators of crime, particularly sex crimes or domestic violence, where they make the victim feel shameful or ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's completely the other way around. The person who throws a thump, a shove, who does something unspeakable to another human being, there lies the shame, not the person who's in the corner saying, please don't do it again.
Yep.
We've got to get that right.
Yep.
You brought your family back. You don't have a hint of English accent.
No,
some people go to the UK for a weekend, they come back sounding like Jamie Oliver.
I've
no, but you know what I mean?
I've had a very broad... spread of patience throughout my life, because after I suppose 5 or 6 years in the East End, I moved to a practice in Wimpole Street in central London.
Yes.
Which was from the socioeconomic strata that we all lived through was at the very top end. And I spent 2 or 3 years there. And then my children were coming to the age where school was becoming an issue. And I was so happy in my own childhood, where I grew up in Cullohill in County Laois, that I wanted my children to have, my wife will kill me, I wanted our children to have the same sort of upbringing as I had. And thankfully they did, and they're very happy and well-adjusted kids.
I always wonder, and I'll put this to you with a whimsical grin, did you want your children to have Irish accents and not English accents, or did that cross your mind at all?
No, that never crossed
did
my mind.
Did it not? I often wonder that sometimes with the, I talk to some people who come home going, I couldn't handle, Daddy, Mummy, you know, I couldn't have. And how are your kids doing now?
They're great. Tara is an engineer in the ESB, and Claire is a physiotherapist, and she's working with the HSE at the minute.
Congratulations. So yeah. Two girls. I mean, two girls. I wonder, does that, I mean, they're women now, would that colour your sense of
empathy? Thinking that, you know, last night, because I have four sisters and no brothers.
Have you?
My life has been surrounded by women.
And what a good effect that's had on you.
Perhaps. My father asked me on Sunday, he said, where did you get the compassion from?
Well, the fact that he asked the question, you can thank your sisters for that. And your mother, no doubt. Here's a text that says, thank you for having the conversation about domestic abuse. Listening to two men having the conversation is one way of saying this is not okay to men who think it is. And that tallies with the point we were making earlier on, which I'm glad to see. And I appreciate that text very much, 51551. And Maria is in West Cork and says, as we're talking to Padraig this morning, what an amazing, understanding, compassionate and caring dentist. Good for him. I have no doubt he's representing a lot of dentists out there who are working away quietly in the background, listening to people who have nowhere else to go. I mean, do you find yourself a kind of counsellor the way some teachers would, you know, above and beyond the core duty of the day, given day?
You know what? The day is so varied, right?
I can imagine.
You put on a different face 20 times a day because each person is different. And some people want to teach you and other people you want to teach them. And then there's another whole batch in the middle who just want you to get on with it and shut up.
Yeah, okay.
But what really interests me about that point,
yes,
and it's absolutely true, so many dentists are out there listening to this or half listening to it because they're busy doing their work. And all of them are doing much what I do. I'm not here because I did anything wonderful. I'm here because I was a conduit which helped one of my patients. And that's what we do every day. And I'm delighted that we get an opportunity occasionally to present the positive side of dentistry. Yeah. Yeah. And this is one of those circumstances. And if I might continue, at my acceptance speech on Saturday, I was amazed that there were so many dentists in the room. And I wasn't amazed that there were so many of them younger than me. I was one of the four oldest people, dentists in the room. And there were an awful lot of young dentists there. And one of the points that I made was that patients will never remember us after 39 years. I know they will never remember us for a brilliant crown or a lovely denture. They will remember us for a kind word.
Well said.
Or a little chat after someone's spouse has died. Mm-hmm. Someone that you knew. Mm. They remembered the kindness. You're expected to do your day's work.
Sure.
But they remembered the kindness. And afterwards, about 50 young dentists came up to me and congratulated me, and they all used the same word, and it was inspirational.
Great.
And that word meant so much to me because it's so important that young dentists get an opportunity to understand empathy, mm-hmm. and they all have empathy, but how to express it properly is often a difficulty for them because they have no experience. And one of the really sad things about young dentists and their training is that on the day they get their certificate, 38 years ago today in my case.
Congratulations, happy anniversary.
Thank you. they walk out into the wide world and there's no further mentoring, no further training, no vocational training for them. And they're exposed to all these really difficult problems that crop up in today's world without a clue.
So that would be something worth thinking about in the dental world. Ray says, I was at the Irish Dental Association Awards on Saturday, and Paddy's story, as I call you here, brought a tear to my eye, which is lovely. But well done to Paddy, says the text. As a social worker, I see the impact of domestic violence on children who are also are victims by witnessing and living in a toxic environment. And I want to thank him and wish him a happy Christmas. Did you, you got a lot of thanks, is that right, from people all around the place? You wanted to say thanks to them for thanking you.
if I have a second, can I respond to that text message? We had a phone call yesterday from a lady in the west of the country. Mm-hmm. She went to the trouble of finding my telephone number, Googled me or whatever, and she called the practice and she spoke to my receptionist for about 3 or 4 minutes, and she was very complimentary about what I had done. And she said that she came from a background where her father was an alcoholic and they suffered the consequences of domestic abuse all through their childhood. But she said, don't forget, domestic abuse in front of children lives with them all their lives.
I'd say it haunts them, yeah.
And on that note, I'd like to thank the hundreds of people who made comments on the Irish Times Facebook page, the hundreds of people who've been in touch with me personally, my friends, my colleagues, my patients, the people who call to my practice, people from Australia, people from Qatar, people from the UK have sent me messages. This has gone way beyond what I thought it was. And finally, from a thanks perspective, Ryan, I truly, truly want to thank the lady who nominated me.
Likewise. Yeah.
She is totally the hero in all of this.
Yeah.
All I was the cable, the media cable that allowed her to get to where she is today. And I am so happy that she's safe. Yeah. And I am so happy that she can now get on with her life.
I think just to reflect on what you were saying about all the thanks that came into you and kind words, there is an insatiable appetite for kindness and for decency, really. And you gave a sample of that, and people were, I think, responding to that. So that's why it was such a pleasure to meet you and to have you here today and to wish you well and your family a happy Christmas.
Thank you very much,
Ryan. And thanks for what you did, because it's a position that, to me, of leadership in the kindest possible way, and what a perfect time of the year to talk to you about that. So mind yourself, and thanks for coming in to see us today. Are you working today or are you off today?
No, today is the day off.
Thank God. You deserve it. You well deserve it. Paddy Padraig O'Rachtagán, thanks for your time this morning. You're based in Roscrea.
In Roscrea, County Tipperary.
And I hope you have just a wonderful Christmas with the family.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time. It's 13 minutes to 10.